Ms. Lindell. Amen. We have a great privilege tonight, and some of us, I don't think, understand who Dr. Scotty Drake really is and the service that he has given to not only the ministry, but what he's given to missions. Amen. And so a lot of times I think, you know, we've heard the story, if you've been around here any amount of time, of what God did with him and through him as he followed God to start Helps Ministries. But what a blessing it is to have him tonight to kind of introduce the men from Helps Ministries. And then I'll just say this, I appreciate him, and I'll ask you to do this. We don't do this for many men because we don't worship him, but he is deserving it. Why don't we give him a hand as he comes? Amen.
All right, good night. Hey, he's the one that gets the glory. Amen. Lord's been good. You know what we're going to do? First of all, I'm going to have all these fellows come up here. And while they're coming, I want to tell you just a little bit about Help Ministries. First of all, Help Ministries is not just helping these fellows. We have an Ezra Fund. And when someone needs something, like they need a roof on a something they're building or something, we loan them the money out of the Ezra Fund. And then as they can, they pay it back with no interest. And that way we're able to loan it to somebody else. And so we have that fund. Then we have about 13 children's homes that we help. And the Lord is good. And all of you know Chan McMullen, most of you, don't you? He raises over $100,000 every year for Bibles to send all over the world. So God is good. And let me just say this. Help Ministry is going right now because of churches just like this. Churches that say, hey, we want to get involved. And brother, I can do nothing but say thank you, praise God for you. I'm proud to be a member of this church. Been a member here now well over 20 years, hadn't we, Barbara? And but God has been so good. Because of time, we're going to have to pull your guys' coattail when your time's up, okay? But what I want them to do, I want them to sing. I want them to sing, and the reason for it is there's about 8,000 languages in the world today, 8,000. So they're going to sing in English, most of them, and then they'll sing in their dialect. Now, let me say this about them. These are not singers. These are preachers, okay? So if you hear somebody a little bit out of tune, don't forget. They're preachers, not singers, okay? How about singing for these guys, for the folks, okay?
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.
Ku ikut Yesus keputusanku. Ku ikut Yesus keputusanku. Ku ikut Yesus keputusanku. Ku tak ingkar. Ku tak ingkar.
He decidido seguir a Cristo. He decidido seguir a Cristo. He decidido seguir a Cristo. No vuelvo atrás, no vuelvo atrás.
Anka o chonka, Jisu bai tong nai. Anka o chonka, Jisu bai tong nai. Anka o chonka, Jisu bai tong nai, ki filia, ki filia.
Ako'y decidido na sundin si Jesus. Ako'y decidido na sundin si Jesus. Ako'y decidido na sundin si Jesus. Ako'y hindi tatalikod.
Akawo chonka, Jesus by tong nai.
tua família, a tua família.
Start off with Macardo. Macardo is from the, his ministry is in the Dominican Republic.
Yes,
is
sir.
That right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, buddy.
Good evening, everyone. I want to say first, thank you. First of all, to the Lord and Pastor, thank you once again for the opportunity to share our testimony and share our ministry. By the grace of God, I got saved from 2007. About the preaching of Pastor Johnny Daniels in one of our mission conferences in Dominican Republic. My pastor, he started evangelizing our community in 2006. And in 2007, he invited Pastor Daniels to preach in one of the mission conferences. Pastor Daniels, he may know or he may speak a little bit of Spanish, but he doesn't. I think that he understands a lot, but he doesn't speak too much Spanish. But Pastor Gabriel Vera, he was translating for Pastor Daniels. And that night, by the grace of God, I was able to understand that if I died, I will spend eternity in hell. And I received the Lord as my personal Savior in 2007. 2009, in one of our Bible conferences, I received the call of the Lord to serve Him full-time in the ministry. And I shared my call with Pastor Doroteo. I thought that he would send me to one of our Bible colleges over there in the Dominican Republic. But as he knew Pastor Daniels, he sent me to Puerto Rico, Calvary Baptist Bible College. I was able to enroll Bible College in 2009, and by the grace of God, I was able to finish in 2015. My wife, to be at that time, she enjoyed Bible College in 2012. I have to wait two more year after I graduate. We married in 2015, and by the grace of God, in 2017, we were able to go back to the Dominican Republic. We were serving with my pastor together, Doroteo Mercedes. And at the end of 2017, close 2018, my pastor sent me to the same, to my same neighborhood. I have been, that he was evangelizing, and by the grace of God, have been pastoring over there, Iglesia Bautista Belén. God has been good to us. The Lord has been opening many doors for us. We, by the grace of God, we go to the public school. We preach the gospel to the teachers over there and also the teenagers and the young people. Many of them, they have received the Lord as their personal Savior. By the help of her ministry, like Pastor, he was saying, we are able to give them Bibles. Some of those teenagers and young people that they receive the Lord as their personal Savior, we give a Bible that they may keep growing in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We have been starting another church from our ministry. What we do, to be able to get the gospel, sometimes we have a box, a Dorcas box in our church. We bring food every month, and at the end of the month, we try to take that box out. And through that box, we went to we knock a door, and there was a family. She has seven children. One of them, she had the baby has like 3 months, 4 months ago, and her husband left her. We shared the gospel with her. She received the Lord as her personal Savior. We started evangelizing the children, that having a kids club. More children was coming in to the house. We started evangelizing the community. People start getting saved. And we rent another house close to the house that we started. And the mission over there is growing little, by the grace of God. Just keep praying for us. The Lord has been good. Ezra Fong, also the Lord helped us through her ministry to buy our land for our church building over there. We have been building little, by the grace of God. And also we are already to the roof level, just praying that the Lord may keep helping us and blessing us to be able to finish the roof. Pray for me. I'm going back home, God's willing, on December 2nd. On December 3rd, that will be on Wednesday, I have received a call from the supervisor or the dean of one of our public school over there. And we have to go back to the public school. Many things is going on with our young people and our teenagers. I just pray that when we preach the gospel, many of them may receive the Lord as their personal Savior. Thank you so much.
God bless you, buddy. God bless you. Amen. All right. Lapella, open up. You come on. All right. Tell them where you are. Where are you going?
Good evening, everyone. I am Pastor Fabio Bilio from Faith Baptist Church, Mindanao. We have three big islands, Luzon, besides Mindanao. And I'm in Mindanao, southernmost part of the Philippines. I got saved November 21, 1999. And I surrendered my life to the Lord to enter the Bible college and to preach the gospel. 2004, and after I graduated 2008, we start our work in Mindanao. And we'll be turning 17 years this coming December 8, 2025. And but before we went there, I have a testimony about my wife, what happened to me when I surrendered it to the Lord. I know God is calling me to preach the gospel, and I was a salesman then. I'm earning good money. My wife has a work also. And I've been struggling because I know God is calling me to preach. So I told my pastor about what about my plan. And I already prayed for it. And but I was not able to told my wife. That's my failure during the time. And when I resigned, I told my pastor. And I told my wife after I resigned from my work, she's very angry with me. And she told me, yeah, you can enroll in Bible school, but I will not go with you in mission field whenever you start a work. So that is my struggle for 3 years, 4 years. I've been praying for it. I've been praying for it. And come in my fourth year, and I was about to graduate, there was an incident that had happened to her. While waiting for a jeepney going to work, that was Saturday morning, a crazy man just passed by at her back and hit her a stone in her back. And that is a turning point for her to decide to go with me. That's why if God called you to be in the ministry, especially wives, don't hesitate to go with your husband because it's God's call. God will take care of you. We were there for 17 years, and we are involved in, I've been preaching to the military and police ministry. That is where we can evangelize Muslim in our place. Because part of our program of the government is that we have Bible study in our military and police. That's why even different religious beliefs, especially Muslims, they come to know the Lord Jesus Christ little by little. Pray for us. We do have children outreach. A way to reach the family, and we have radio ministry, and many more. No, we need many more. Pray for us in Mindanao, and thank you so much for the privilege. Thank you for the Lord and for the helps that we were able to come here. It's my first time in your country, and I love your country. I learned a lot, and when I come back, I will do more for the Lord to reach and evangelize these people in my country. Thank you so much. God bless.
Good evening, everyone. Selamat malam semuanya. I am Pastor Leonardo Rafales. I got saved in the year 1988. When I was 17 years old in the last year of my high school, through the witness of my classmate. And then the following year, I was baptized. After 2 years of being saved, I heard the call of God to enter the ministry. During then, I was studying outside mechanical engineering, enjoying a full-time scholarship. But then when the Lord called me, I left all that and then followed the will of God. And He sustained me. He has given me much more that I could ask or think. And then 32 years ago, the Philippines, the Lord has started missions movement in the Philippines. It means that the Philippines started sending missionaries to not to local fields, but to foreign fields. And so in 2003, during a missions conference in our home church, I heard the call of God to go to the mission field. I surrendered in 2003. During then, I was already 31 years old, but still single as a pastor. And I had a fiancé during then, which became my wife now. And I remember asking her, if ever I would be called to the foreign field, will you come with me? She said yes. I don't know why she said yes, Maybe she did not understand what she was talking about, but I'm sure she understands right now. Unlike Brother Obilio, but my wife, for some reason, just said, yes, it's a grace for me. Now, we were able to arrive in Indonesia in May 2, 2005. We studied the language. Now, Indonesia is the fourth most populous country in the world, and 85% are Muslims. Indonesia is between, is south of the Philippines, between the Philippines and Australia. So Indonesia is the largest archipelago in the world. If the Philippines has 700, more than 7,000 islands, Indonesia has 17,000 islands. So we're situated in the Java Island. That's the main island, the center of economy, politics, and we're in the city called Yogyakarta. After finishing the language, although Indonesia has more or less 700 minor and major languages, they do have a national language called Bahasa Indonesia. And that's the thing that we've studied for 1 year so that we can speak to the people. After studying the language, we went to a city called Yogyakarta. That's near central Java in Java Island. And we have been there for 19 years. We've been in Indonesia for 20 years already until now by the grace of God. And we're planning to start another work when I come back. Still in that city, it's also a province. There's a city and it has four regencies, or over here it's like counties. And it's a province. It's led by a sultan, so it's a special province. It's still a kingdom. And the sultan acts as the governor. Okay, so the Lord has called us over there, and Indonesia needs more missionaries, more laborers. It's challenging to preach the gospel in Indonesia because of Islam as the majority, and also be challenging to spread the gospel because we could not spread the gospel just like what we do in the States or in the Philippines freely. What we do usually and generally is create relationships with people, and then when we have created a relationship, that's the time that we are ready to preach the gospel to them, especially to the Muslim. Very challenging, but the Lord said in his word that go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Thank you for your missions-mindedness, and thank you for Help Ministry for the opportunity you have given to us to come over here. This is also my first time in the States. Now, I've been tasked and given the privilege to deliver the word of God. Kindly open the Bible with me to the book of John, chapter 20. I will be reading verses 21 and 22. John chapter 20, 21 and 22. The Bible says, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed to them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are not worthy to receive your grace and even to gather together, but only because of your grace and because you have given us the freedom to be your children and to feast at your word. Lord, tonight we come to you. We pray that you will be in our midst, O Lord, and have your own will and way. And we pray that your name will be glorified, your name will be magnified, and your people will be edified. Bless also thy servant. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The title of the message tonight is Let Us Go Because He Came. Let us go because he came. The disciples, as we see here, sat behind locked doors on the evening of the resurrection, hearts trembling. Come to think of it, it's exactly right now. Okay, we celebrate the resurrection every Sunday, and this is evening. And their futures unclear, and fear gripping their souls. They have been hearing Jesus Christ saying that he will die, but then he will rise again. But for some reason, they were not able to grasp until this very moment. Into that room of uncertainty stepped the risen Christ. His first words were not a rebuke, but reassurance. He said, "Peace be unto you." Then he gave them their life's mission. He said, "As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." Brothers and sisters in the Lord, this is not simply a commission for apostles long gone. It is Christ's mandate to every believer today. So we will look at several truths in this passage of scriptures. Number one is the peace that equips the messenger. The peace that equips the messenger. Before Jesus sent his disciples, he steadies their hearts. They were bewildered, they were weary, they were worried, they were fearful. But when he went unto them and showed himself to them, he said, "Peace unto you. Peace unto you." He said in John 14, verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." You see, brothers and sisters in the Lord, you cannot really follow God into missions. Before you go to the mission field, before you do anything, make sure that you have the peace of God with you. Amen? We cannot be going there in fear. Oh, let the world be troublous. Let the world create danger or have danger. We know that there's danger around us. But let peace reign in our hearts, not trouble. The disciples were hiding behind locked doors, as I've said earlier, full of fear. Jesus enters their anxiety and speaks peace. That's what we need, amen? When we do missions and when we serve the Lord, we need the peace of God. Before we do something, we should have the peace of God. No believer can carry out the mission of Christ while fear occupies the heart. For example, a sailor once said, "It isn't the water around a ship that sinks a ship, but the water that gets inside it." So Jesus knew the hostile world around the disciples could not destroy them unless fear filled their hearts. A few times from the Philippines going to Indonesia, we passed by immigration. And one time, there was this immigration officer. He said, "What are you doing in Indonesia? We're missionaries. Isn't that dangerous?" Yes, there's some sort of danger there, amen? There's some sort of danger anywhere preaching the gospel. But it doesn't matter, amen, if the world, if around us there's storm, as long as there is peace in our hearts, what we are doing. His peace keeps the storm outside, the soul from becoming a storm inside. The problem is when the storm is inside, amen? When we are doubting, when we are in fear, then we cannot do anything. Peace is not optional, it is the foundation of our mission. Point number two, the pattern of Christ's missions. The pattern of Christ's mission. He said, "As the Father hath sent me, so send I you." To know how we are sent, we must look at how Christ was sent from heaven to earth. Number one, he was sent in obedience. Amen? He was sent in obedience. If your motivation to serve the Lord is not in obedience, if your motivation is something else like money or prestige or popularity or something else other than obedience, you're wrong. Wrong. Jesus Christ came here to earth in obedience to the command of the Father. John 6:38 says, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. In his humanity, in Matthew 26:39, he even kind of struggled. And for me, I don't understand it. I will never understand fully the word of God. But he said in Matthew 26:39, and he went a little farther. This is in the Garden of Gethsemane. And fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." He knew pretty well. He understood clearly what suffering, what torture he will go through. That's why he was able to say this, "Let this cup pass from me." But he said, "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." To go to the mission field, especially to dangerous mission field, it's not comfortable. For sure, our families are against it. Okay? Not seeing us. But, you know, we do it not because of our will, but his will. And mind you, if it is his will, it's the safest place to be. No matter where you are, amen, you could be in the safest place, humanly speaking, but you're out of God's will, you're in danger. But you can be in a war zone, but God wants you to be there. You're in the safest place to be. He was sent in obedience. Number two, he was sent in humility. He was sent in humility. In Philippians 2:5-7, the Bible says, "Let that mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus." The context here is humility. "Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man." It was not hard. He was willing to empty himself, amen, and be crucified. He came unto his own and his own received him not. He suffered much in this world. But the Bible says, "But as many as receive him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name." Thank the Lord for his humility. Amen. Amen. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But he came to be the servant. Servant. Die at the cross. Died the crucifixion. He came in humility. So, our service to the Lord should always be in humility. Amen. Once upon a time, two disciples with their mother came to the Lord Jesus Christ. They wanted something. They wanted to be seated on the right hand and the left hand of Jesus Christ when he comes into the kingdom. But Jesus Christ taught them that the way up is down. Amen. In the ministry, the way to be exalted is through humility. Number three, he was sent in love. We know John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." This love is giving, amen? This is the divine love of God. We could never understand that the love of God for all eternity. Why us as sinners bound for hell, God would love us and Jesus Christ would die at the cross, shed his blood for us. When Jonah was sent by God, he disobeyed because of hatred, amen? I trust there is no Jonah here like that, with attitude like that. We should be sent in love. We go, we preach the gospel because we love them. Amen? Even Jesus Christ said, "Love your enemies." Our father walked through fresh snow. I wish we could have seen snow. No. We did not see snow. Leaving large footprints. His little son came behind him, stretching his leg to step where his father stepped. So that's what we do. Christ already walked the path. Our mission is to place our feet in his footstep, to obey as he obeyed, love as he loved, and humble ourselves as he humbled himself. We just need to follow his steps. Amen? We just need to ask ourselves, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? So his mission becomes our model. Last but not the least, I have little time. Point number three is the power that enables the mission. The power that enables the mission. After the Lord has spoken, "Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, so send I you." In verse 22, he also said, the Bible says, he breathed upon them and said unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now the same Spirit who empowered Jesus now empowers every believer. Without Him, mission becomes impossible. With Him, it becomes unstoppable. So when we have a telephone, can you still imagine the old telephone? The telephone may have screen, buttons, and wires. But without connection to power, it is useless. Many Christians appear equipped with knowledge, scripture, desire, yet lack power because they are not connected to the Holy Ghost. Jesus breathed power into His mission by breathing the Spirit into His followers. So, we are sent in His strength, not ours. Acts 1:8 very clearly says, And you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So brothers and sisters in the Lord, we are sent because He came. Jesus fulfilled the mission of His Father that His Father gave Him through His life, His cross, and His resurrection. Now He turns to us and says, As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. His peace steadies us. Amen. Makes us calm. His pattern guides us. As my Father has sent me, so send I you. His power enables us. Thank God for the Holy Spirit that makes us witnesses and makes us bold in preaching the gospel. There is a world already to be rich. The world is ready to be rich with the gospel. There is a harvest ready to be gathered. There is a Savior who still sends. So brothers and sisters in the Lord, let us go. Let us go because of the reason that He came. Let us go. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for your precious words tonight. Bless thy word, O God. May sink deep into our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Pastor.
Stand to our feet tonight. We do need to go. Maybe God spoke to you about going to the mission field tonight. Be a good night to surrender to the work of God. Maybe God wants you to give so that someone else can go. I don't know what it is that God wants you to do tonight, but if God's stirring something up inside of you, maybe it is that you need to be saved tonight. You've been doubting your salvation, not sure where you're going to spend eternity. Why don't you let us take a Bible and show you how to be saved tonight? But I encourage you to do this. Tonight we're going to have an invitation, and I invite you to come and to do business with God. An altar is a place to be altered, to be changed, to come and do business with God and let Him work in and through you. Really, it's to just come and surrender to what God wants to do and work on in you tonight. If you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, I beg you, meet me in the front. Let us take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Maybe you've never been baptized. You've been saved, but you've never taken that first step of obedience. Would you step out tonight and step out in obedience to Christ and do what God's asked you to do? As Brother Bert sings, you do business with God.